Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey everyone, this edition of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. The only people that don't get time off this time of year are pro athletes and us at Bet Online. With NFL bowl season and NBA in full swing over the holidays, Bet Online isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up to the second odds news and information. BetOnline has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Today on the Patriots Report, my co-host Chris Hogan and I take a look at some of the things that have sparked the offensive turnaround, how Mac Jones is different from Bailey Zappi, and some of the unique challenges of playing in Buffalo. We also take a look at the Hall of Fame candidacy of former Patriots legend Vince Wilfork. That's all up right now, only in the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, Patriots now coming off the 26-23 Christmas Eve win in Denver. Their second win in 3 weeks. Still haven't really been able to put together 60 minutes of offense, but it was still good enough to beat the Broncos. And in the end, really, for me, it was your philosophy, go screw up someone's season, that I kept thinking about, especially over the last few days. Now we've heard that Russell Wilson is basically out in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they messed someone's season up, right? Big time. I mean, I think I saw on social media their playoff percentages were roughly about 50%, and after the Christmas Eve night, they were below 5%. So, I mean, they certainly did that. I mean, you said it, it's not a complete game. There's still mistakes being made and not total all three phases put together, but it was enough to go on the road to beat a very good Denver Broncos team that was playing well in the second half of their season. And it just, it was fun, man. You get to see these guys, go out there and to see Zappi all excited on the sideline, watching a game-winning field goal kick on the road in Denver at night to win a football game. I mean, come on. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better Christmas present than that. And I'm happy for the guys. I'm proud of them. It's something that I know, especially about this time of year, I know how much this team and those guys dedicate. And this is across the league for the players. They put so much time and effort into their communities and giving back and doing all these sorts of things. And I know personally a lot of the guys on that team that do things in their community and have been, they get the notoriety for it. People are out there, they see it. So for them to go on the road and get a win, it was a nice Christmas present for all of New England, I think.
I was trying to tell people that even if the Broncos go 0-17, winning in Denver is difficult. Yes. It's really, really, really hard. You're not just dealing with the atmosphere in the altitude. It is a loud stadium. It is one of the loudest stadiums in the league. I don't know whether it was the way it was constructed, the fan base, whatever the case may be. Winning in Denver is difficult. And for a team like the Patriots to be able to go into Denver, keep their focus, and win on the road, I think that's a nice victory for them.
100%. I mean, I think any victory on the road, but certainly to go out to Denver playing at night, I mean, you haven't really played in that cold of weather yet, and it was cold, not to mention the altitude and all those other factors that go into it. So yeah, I mean, playing on a big stage, we haven't had many primetime games this year, and to go out there and win a game in that way, I mean, that's it's a a fantastic win for
Few
that whole
stats for you.
team.
A few stats for you. First of all, you talk about playing in prime time. They're 2-1 in prime time. Patriots are 2-1 this year. The only loss they had was Miami earlier in the year. And if Cole Strange converts that lateral, hey, who knows what happens? The second thing is, if they win out, they will be 500 in the AFC, which still blows my mind. They'll be 6-6. They'll be, of course, they'll be, 0-5, I think it is, or something like that in the NFC. And then the other thing is that they again, 3 of 5 down the stretch, you can make a case and you can say, all right, it's not ideal, it's not perfect, but given where we were in mid-October, that Saints game, that Cowboys game, that's a decent way to end the season.
I mean, listen, we talked about it last couple of weeks. We're trying to end on a positive note. We're trying to give the organization, Mr. Kraft, Bill, something positive to kind of reflect on, after everything that has gone wrong this entire season. So to go out, to have, to win a few games, to put something positive together on the field is great. I mean, I think it's, listen, no one's going to be happy at the end of the season because we didn't do anything. We were not a good football team. We didn't play good football all year round, but hey, let's build off of some of these positive things that we did, kind of see where we need to go, the direction of this football team. Where do we need to go with it? Who do we need? Like, what position groups do we need to bring in? Like, what? So let's start evaluating this, which I'm sure they already are. I mean, that's what they pay a lot of other scouts and all those people to do throughout the course of the year. And let's take all the positives that we have, the guys that we want to keep, and let's move on. But listen, we still got two games left in this year, and these guys are not giving up. And we see that. Listen, there is every reason underneath the sun for them just to roll it out there. Hey, Buffalo, here you go, man. I know you guys need to win out to make the playoffs pretty much. So we're just going to give it to you. Like we're going to run the ball. We're not really going to try to win. No, F that. We're not doing that. They know that. I'm telling you right now, the Buffalo Bills are not taking this game lightly. I don't think they're taking anything lightly. But after you see a New England team play good football, go into Denver and everyone. Across the league, they know how hard it is. We just talked about it, how hard it is to win in Denver. They're Buffalo Bills are this is a big game for them. And I know that Bill is going to get these guys prepped. And listen, we get to play them a lot. We play see them twice a year. So you can bet your ass this is going to be a good football game.
By the way, I wanted to kind of clarify a stat there. If they win out, they are 6-6 against the AFC this year, and then they're 0-5 against everyone else, basically the NFC. So 6-6, again, it's not ideal, but again, given what we were talking about in mid-October, early November, I'd say that's certainly something to shoot for.
It's better.
I want to ask you off of that. Off of that number, off of that stat, a different variation on the what is Bill Belichick's future question that we seem to talk about every single week. Is 5-12 enough? Is 3 wins in the last 5 games? Can he walk into Robert's office on January 8th and say, look, we fought down the stretch. There is some good stuff here. Let's build on it going into 2024. Or do you think Robert says it's not enough?
I mean, have been thinking about this a little bit. I don't see a world where Bill Belichick is not the head coach of this football team. And I don't see another way. I don't think Bill has to leave on his own terms. I think there's too much history. There's too much of a relationship between Mr. Kraft and Bill and the organization and everything that he's done. I don't see how you could like. Listen, if you get rid of Bill, I mean, first of all, who are we bringing in, right? Who's going to be the head coach? And then that head coach, I mean, listen, we're talking about Brady-esque shoes to fill, right? Now, like the expectation level for that head coaching position is like 10x of any other head coaching position that's open in the NFL. And whoever's going to take that has to know that. And it's just, I don't see how they're going to be able to, no one can fill those shoes unless, you know, we're going to bring in someone internally. But again, I think Bill has done enough. He hasn't had a good football team. He doesn't have a quarterback. He doesn't have the players around him. Bring in some guys, give them next year. Let's get a quarterback. If we're either going to do that in the draft or we're going to do it in free agency. And then let's bring in some good free agents. Let's get some draft picks. You know, let's build a team centered around something. And then let's see what happens next year. Because I guarantee you, if you put some playmakers on offense, you know, maybe you're amping up the interior, you know, into the interior line or whatever that is. I can't say that we really need to change the defense that much because they've been playing well. But hey, like, I'm not going to say no to adding like a linebacker or someone that can rush the passer, right? Like, that's always a game changing player on the field. So let's do that. And then say, hey, listen, Bill, we're going to build this team this year. But like, if it doesn't go the way that we want it to go, like, I think you need to be the guy. Like, you need to be the guy that steps down. Like, hey, this is my last year. You know, I'm riding off into the sunset, and you know, I'm taking a step down from head coaching position. I'm still going to be a part of the organization, yada, yada, yada. Great. You know, and we hire, you know, I'll be part of the hiring process and all of that sort of thing. So I feel like that's a better route for Mr. Kraft to take, as opposed to, because then, listen, you get rid of Bill, you're putting it all on your shoulders, because now it's no one's. Yeah, sure, we're going to hire a head coach, and yeah, they're going to say, like, either it goes well or it doesn't. If it doesn't, guess who they're looking at? They're looking at Mr. Kraft.
I think also to that point, I don't know if Robert Kraft wants to be remembered as the guy who let Tom Brady walk. Although, you know, we can argue as to whose fault it was,
right,
but he doesn't want to be the guy who is perceived to be the one who let Tom Brady walk and then fired Bill Belichick.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, listen, that's your, the legacy of what you've built will be so heavily dependent on Tom walked and then you let Bill walk. And, you know, now the fate of the organization is really in someone else's hands, and we don't really know where it's going to go, right? I mean, we're living in a different era now where it's just, we're not going to playoffs every single year, and we're not going to AFC Championship. So, like, we need to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit of how we're rebuilding this team and what's our focus, what type of team are we going to be, and what type of players are we bringing in? So I think there's a lot to consider. You know, in the last couple of games, I think there's a lot to consider before anyone makes any crazy decisions about who the head coach is going to be. I think if Bill wants to remain the head coach, I think he's earned that. I think that he deserves it. I think that they just need to build a better team, and they need to focus on that throughout the entire offseason.
All right. I want you to rank these in order of most likely to least likely, in your opinion. Bailey Zappe is traded in the offseason. Mac Jones is traded in the offseason, or Bill Belichick is traded in the offseason? Most likely to least likely.
Least likely, Bill's traded. Then we're going to go Zappe. I think most likely to get rid of Mac Jones.
Okay.
I think, I guess getting rid of, I kind of threw that out there a little too loosely. I think you trade. I think maybe Mac needs a fresh start, right? And Mac is not... He's not the player that he was, you know, last season to this season. And to be honest with you, for him, I think a fresh start might be the best thing that for his career. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just me. I mean, he might feel differently. He might want to stay in New England. But again, that's not entirely up to him. If they can, you know, make a good trade for him, whether it's draft picks or even for, you know, certain players or whatever that is, you know, who knows? I mean, I think you have to put everything on the table other than trading Bill. I don't even know what that would look like. You know, it's like, but again, I don't know if anyone would want to trade for Bill Belichick. Like, knowing, seeing how things went. I mean, listen, the guy's got, he has the resume, right? And we know how good of a head coach he is. Everyone knows that. And I love how people have gone and spoken very outright about how well he prepares and how much, you know, Jabril Peppers comes to mind. He's like, yeah, listen, I've learned so much from Bill this year, over in more than him than my entire career. And that speaks volumes, because that dude is a good football player. And for him to say something like that, you know that he's doing something. Right. And I've said this a million times. You know, Bill taught me more about football. Him and Tom taught me more about football than I could have ever hoped to imagine, you know, learn, you know, throughout my career. But yeah, I don't see a world. I think Zappy's done enough to earn, you know, a spot to compete in training camp. I think Mac Jones's fate kind of just, you know, I think it really relies on what that trade would look like. You know, it's got to make sense for New England. Mm-hmm.
If they get a fifth for him around the draft, maybe a four, depending on, you know, if Bill does, depending on the trade partner and the way the quarterback market shakes out, maybe he has a shot at a fourth, I think. But it is, it's going to be interesting. I still think that they're going to follow the path that they set up kind of in 2014 when Jimmy came in. Where it's you draft someone in not a second, but you use a high draft pick on a quarterback, a top 50 draft pick on a quarterback, and then you create that quarterback competition. And Bill, as you know, in training camp, loves that competition, loves the idea of one guy pushing another and seeing how it all kind of comes together. So I do agree with you. I don't know. I think you might be able to get more for Bailey Zappe right now. And I think that might be an interesting conversation, although I don't think that that's the ultimate end game. I do think Zappe comes back, and I think they look into trading back. I'm fascinated. Speaking of Zappe, from your viewpoint, what are they doing on offense now that's allowing them and him to have success that maybe they weren't doing earlier this year? Was it as simple as a change at quarterback, or was it something else?
I think they're just, I don't think they've changed a lot. What I see in Zappe is he's not afraid to step up in the pocket. You know, he's shown it over the last couple of weeks that he has the ability of just not escaping the pocket right away when things collapse. He's stepped up, he's making some throws, he's keeping his eyes down the field if he does escape. I think they have guys that are out there right now that are healthy. You know, Pop is, you know, coming back has been huge. You know, I mean, I love that kid, man. I think he's gonna be a good football player. Tight ends are playing better. I mean, Zeke's running the ball well. I think, you know, he gave them a little bit of life, probably with just kind of, I'm not gonna say dumbing down the offense, but doing the things that he is good at, right? And New England is notorious for, you know, whatever you're good at, we are going to just do that, right? But we can change it around. We can do use different personnel. We can do different formations, but we're going to specialize in these plays. And I think that's really what they've done. And I think he's able to get out there, get into a rhythm. They've been able to do that. We're not, you know, turning the ball over, you know, a ton. We're doing it less than we were earlier in the season, and he's making the throws. You know, he's confident, man. You could just tell he's stepping up and he's making these throws, and some of them are not easy throws. I mean, the one that he made the pop and even in the end zone, you know, that's, you know, the Gesicki, like those are tough throws to make, you know, and he's making them. So I think he's shown, I think he's getting better every single week that he gets more reps in game. And that's what I've noticed. I think he is progressing as a quarterback. He hasn't had a lot of game reps over the course of his career, right? I mean, these are like some of the most game reps he's ever had. Mm-hmm. And I think he's now, you can just tell that he's becoming more and more comfortable under center in the shotgun, you know, calling plays, doing all of that sort of thing, commanding the offense. And clearly he has the respect of that offense because he's going out there and making plays. So I go out there for him, you know, I think that's what these guys are out, man. It's like, listen, what do we have to lose? I think that's how he's playing. What does he have to lose? He's going to go back to being a backup. Who gives a shit? Like, you, dude, you go out here and you win the next two games, you win, you know, we're going, what would that be? He's won two games now.
Yeah. And well, they would win three of their last five. If they
win three of their last five, Bro, that's game. That's life changing for you right there.
Or 4 of 6, I guess. Yeah, four of six. Yeah,
that's life changing. Some of my hey man, I see a lot in Zappy. Right, give him a contract. You know, let him come compete for the backup job or the start. You know, who knows? You know, this league is so funny with quarterbacks. You just never know. And you know, he's going out there and making the best of all of his opportunities. So super happy for the kid, man. And New England is rallying behind him and. They're playing together, you know, for as best as they can. And as crappy as the season this has been, there hasn't been a quit. And I think as a former New England Patriot, that is the thing that I am most proud of.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The offensive philosophy point that you bring up, that I've always gone back to the idea that they're good at minimizing the weaknesses and maximizing the strengths.
Yeah.
And leaning on... in knowing exactly what a guy can do and doing their best, or at least trying to do their best in terms of putting that guy in situations where he can succeed. And I think that they've been really good at that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's when I first got there, that was always how they coached us. And the amount of time that we spent on practicing and doing different things, but when it came down to game plan and it came down to being in different situations, no one was going to ask. Well, I mean, we were asked to crack back on DNs, but like all that kind of stuff. But like, no one's going to ask me to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. You know, what is Chris good at? What is Julian good at? What is Tom? What is Danny? You know, what is Pop Douglas good at? Right? What is Gesicki good at? What is Zeke good at? And we're going to do all of those things. What is he not good at? Great. Let's put someone else in that can do that. And he can do it very, very well, right? And that's how they ran their offense. They put guys in position for success, right? That's how this offense was built. And I think that's why they talk about system offense and a system quarterback. It's not, has nothing to do with the system, bro. They're putting people in position for success. They're not asking people to do things that they can't do well, right? And Julian had a very specific skill set that he was very, very good at, right? And he was able to do a variety of different things, but they also never asked him to really go on all the way outside the numbers and run go balls, right? That was not his specialty. Specialized inside the numbers. And he did it very, very well for, you know, 13 years, right? And that's kind of how this offense is built. And they're going to continue to do that. I think they just need more guys that specialize in other areas. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It feels like we have the guys that we're able to put in specific positions, but not enough to specialize everywhere on the field.
Last question for me about Zappy this week. He seems to have some sort of confidence gene that's just missing in Mac. And I don't know, you talked about playing with the idea of playing with nothing to lose or playing nothing to lose. And I wonder if part of it is that. I wonder if part of it is his own collegiate upbringing, because he played in an air raid offense. He talked a little bit about that yesterday on Wednesday, just where he came from, that underdog mentality. I'm just fascinated as to where that level of confidence comes from, because for me, it's confidence that's bordering on cockiness. But you want some of that from your quarterback, don't you?
100%. Confident, not cocky, right? I mean, but like your quarterback, I mean, listen, it's a mindset, right? I played my entire career with a chip on my shoulder. And you could always tell those guys that play with that chip on your shoulder, right? They just, they approach the game differently. Their mentality is different. Their personality on game day is just different. You know, there's just, they have that aura about them where it's just like, I am the best on the field right now. And Zappy seems to, he kind of has that swag about it, right? And
even if it's misguided sometimes, I get
that. I mean, but like
this throws that right he probably now, shouldn't try, you know, but it's still, there's something there that you don't necessarily see with Mac. That's not to say that Mac's not confident, but it's just a different way of going about their business.
It is rare to find that in the world today with someone that is overly confident in themselves. And I support that in him, that he believes so strongly in himself, because that I'm not sure how psychologically healthy he knows that really is for in his given position in the world that he lives in professional football. Self-doubt is a career killer, right? If you don't believe in yourself, that's going to affect everything that you do on the field, off the field, in the classroom. Like, there is no cure for self-doubt other than believing in yourself and going back to the basics and doing all these different things. Not saying, you know, it's like this during a season, right? You're going to go through ebb and flows, but the fact that he carries himself that way, I think, I really think that it's a product of the opportunity that's in front of him, where there is no expectation, right? It's not, hey, you're not coming in here to go get us to the playoffs. You're not coming in here to take over for Tom Brady or for Mac Jones. Like, we don't have that expectation. Our expectation is you go out there and play good football and try to win some games. And I think he's pretty much just saying, okay, cool. Like, training wheels are off. I'm just going to go out there and play and have fun. Right. I think that we say cockiness, but I think he's just having fun. Mm-hmm. I think he's just enjoying being a starter and getting that time to play football. And, you know, and it's showing on the field. I mean, the guy's going out there and he's balling, you know, and who knows what's going to come of this over the, you know, last couple of games. And I mean, he could go and, you know, actually, I'm not even going to put that on the table. I hope he goes, you know, last two games and he just ruins someone else's season, you know, next week. So I wish that kid nothing but the best. I think he's just having fun, man. And he has, you know, his future is so up in the air, you know, and I think he's approaching it like this could be his last time playing football. And I think that's kind of the right way to go about this. Never take it for granted.
In just the idea of, you know, you don't know what 2024 is going to hold, but you just want to put good stuff on tape. You want to be consistent. And if whatever happens, happens, he's going to, you know, if there's a coaching change, if he's traded, just be consistent and just be the same guy and just put good stuff out there. Because as we've said before, 31 other teams are watching. Want to talk to you this week. New Year's Eve against the Bills, Highmark Stadium. You really made your name professionally in upstate New York at the start of your career. We've talked about your time with the Bills before, but I'm curious as to what the biggest surprise for you was when it came to playing in Buffalo.
The weather inconsistency. You know, it could be no, but seriously, that's a big thing. I mean, it's going to be I guarantee Bills open it up with, hey, listen, this is what the weather's going to be like. That place is a wind tunnel. You know, it might be, it's going to be, you know, 50 degrees the day before, and the next day it's going to be 20 degrees and 40 mile per hour winds. And it's just, it's so unpredictable. You know, and going, I mean, that place is going to be electric, right? We're talking, it's a holiday weekend. These guys they're coming off back-to-back-to-back wins. I'm pretty sure
they're rolling, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, they're rolling. Yeah. I mean, listen, they're playing good football. They obviously, their future is written, right? They need to win, right? And they win the last couple of games to really get themselves into the playoffs. So, you know, we're not talking about all the different scenarios that could potentially happen that could get them there anyways, but in their minds, they need to win every single one of these games. The fans know that. The organization knows that. The players know that. So this game, I mean, this is going to have some for Buffalo, it's going to have playoff vibes. I guarantee it's going to have playoff vibes. So you're going to expect Bills Mafia to be out there in full effect. And New England is just going to have to be ready. Like you said, I mean, you talked about Denver being loud, Buffalo's going to be just as loud, you know, and that's going to be, it's going to be a tough, tough atmosphere to play in. And when those fans, that stadium gets going, It's loud, man. So, like, you know, I guarantee you that stereo is going to be cranked up for the offense this week. There's going to be a lot of hand signals, which is, you know, stuff that they practice, but communication is going to be huge for New England this week, especially on offense. On defense, obviously, you know, they got to do what they have to do. But when we're on offense, that it's going to be loud. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit of no huddle this weekend, you know, this weekend, you know, kind of if we, especially if we get things rolling. And you know, you can get Zappy into a little bit of rhythm. Yeah, let's go into a huddle. Let's get into some different formation that personnel that he's comfortable with. Keep Buffalo on their toes. I mean, you know, again, what do we have to lose here, right? You know, let's keep them from substitution. Let's keep them on their toes. Whether how they're, I don't know how they're going to match up with, you know, different guys. So let's not let them do that. Let's just kind of, and let's just roll, man, and keep doing what we're doing.
When they play music at practice to simulate crowd noise, who gets to choose the music? Whose playlist is it? Whose iPod is plugged in and gets to
I feel like
choose?
it's I feel like Bears usually controls that. So it's whatever the vibe of the week is. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you get a little Bon Jovi. Sometimes you get a wide variety of music. And then other times you just get the classic stadium white noise just screaming in your face. But they like to mix it up a little bit. You know, they can have a little bit of fun with it.
Can it be fun to have music in practice? Lighten it up a little bit. I know you're trying to simulate crowd noise, and I know you're trying to get into that mindset, but also playing with music, it must be kind of cool at some point.
Listen, I mean, I think there's a time and a place for it, but I also think that music is a motivator. I mean, everyone listens to music when they're in the gym. We listen to music, you know, when you're working out, when you're practicing, or if we're doing warm-up drills, or you know, just in the beginning of practice, or even, you know, during maybe like a on a Friday, we're playing music as opposed to, you know, the white stadium noise that's just screaming. I think listen, it's good for guys, right? I mean, I think they have, especially right now, and we're almost in January. You know, it's been a long season for every single person in the NFL. You get a little more juice into your practices. I'm all for it. I don't think it needs to be done every single day because I think there's a time and a place for it. And you know, probably Wednesday, Thursday needs to be more focused around, listen, you got to put in the work, but you know, you fast Friday and you're in there, in, out, on the field, off the field. You know, play whatever type of music your head coach or your captains are feeling. Get a little extra juice in there. I think that's a good thing.
Last question for me. Two notable ex-Patriots made the list of semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Rodney Harrison made the cut. He's now a finalist, but Vince Wilfork did not. You never played with Vince. I think you missed him by 1 year in New England, but you did play against him when you were in Buffalo. Make a case for Vince as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I mean, he was a. I mean, I played against him a number of different times, notably when he was playing for Houston. And I believe he was in, when I was in New England, we played against him when he was in Houston too. I can speak about how Coach Belichick speaks about him and how unbelievable of a player he was and what it took to game plan around one specific large individual on defense that can really screw up an entire game plan if you're not blocking him correctly. And I think for Vince, I don't see again, like we talk about a world where Bill Belichick doesn't belong in Patriots colors. Like I don't see a world where that guy doesn't belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, he did it for so many years and did it so well and was arguably one of the best defensive tackles to ever play the game. And he was just had the ability of taking over a football game if your game plan was not centered around that guy, right? And I think we look at all the guys that are nominated into the Hall of Fame. I think you look at defensive positions specifically, you know, maybe not corners because they come with all the stats and, you know, and everything, but look at like defensive tackles, right? You're the guys that are getting it, you know, those are the guys that they're number one. They're the number one guy, you know, on your personnel list where it's like, okay, who do we have to take care of so that we can actually win a football game? Vince Wilfork's at the top of that list every single time you play against. So I can guarantee you that. So I would hope that he inevitably ends up in Pro Football Hall of Fame today.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm a Vince apologist. I'm a Rodney apologist. Those two guys
Yeah.
were absolutely seismic. They were transcendent when they needed to be. They won big games. They were huge parts of the New England program for a long,
Huge.
long time, figuratively and literally. And
Yeah.
they both deserve a spot. I think to your point, defensive tackles, it's tough for them. The
Yeah.
defensive tackles that don't put
They
up
don't get the they
the
don't
big
have the
sack
all the
numbers.
stats,
Yeah,
right? It's
but the space eaters, the nose tackles.
But come on, man, you can't mention defensive tackles without thinking about Vince Wilfork, right? I mean, that's just one of those names that, I mean, how long has he been retired for? And I think he's just one of those guys that everyone's always going to remember, and he's just, he's got a very, very big personality too, man. I mean, I used to love watching him on Hard Knocks and all that kind of stuff, man. This dude was funny. He had fun. He's just gigantic human being that, you would never think that he was, a professional football player, but then he puts on pads and he's a freaking animal on the field, and he was able to do it like for an entire game, which is like mind-boggling to me, where I'm, 200 pounds less than him, and I still need a break, and this guy was able to do it for so long and did it at such a high level. He has to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't think he will not be denied that.
Chris Hogan, thank you so much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again next week. The first podcast of 2024 next week. The first Patriots Report of 2024 next week. Take care, man. We'll talk soon.
See you, Chris.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by BetOnline. The only people that don't get time off this time of year are pro athletes and us at BetOnline. With NFL bowl season and NBA in full swing over the holidays, BetOnline isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and info. BetOnline has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.